flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
We didn't even touch on this earlier, Keith. That was Shams yesterday morning. LeBron had no idea.
Let's not go that far.
Come on.
LeBron made the move, but the other guys might have been left in the dark. I wouldn't be surprised by that. Did you see the thing? Did I fall for a fake Twitter? I didn't dig into this. The Luka Doncic Instagram story. Is this true or false?
I don't believe I saw it. I saw his statement yesterday.
Oh, was that all the missed calls?
Is that a real thing? I didn't double check. I don't know if it was Photoshopped or not, but it was like his GM called him like a million times starting at like 2:15 in the morning on, and he like never answered.
I saw the video going around of Durant on the bench.
That was pretty good. They couldn't believe it. He and Bradley Beal.
That looked real.
That did look real.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe those guys didn't know.
You never know with some of those videos, but they're like,
did you see the Kevin Durant, Gary Payton one?
Yes.
That was great.
The glove was talking trash.
Oh, going back and
I
forth.
I did see that. Yes.
When you were my age, you were eighth off the bench.
It's actually a good line. I love Gary Payton, but that was a good line.
Yeah, when you were my age, you were, you know, at the end of your career on the Celtics is what you were.
Yeah.
But no,
he did win a title, though, with the Heat.
So I think, there were quite a few people surprised. Don't tell me LeBron was surprised.
Yeah, no, LeBron knows what's going on. But this is also why it's such a bad trade, is because nobody knew, and I don't mean just the players. I mean, no other GM in the NBA knew that one of the most coveted players in the league, one of the guys that you would legit label as untradeable, was available, and only you're only talking to the Lakers about a guy who is 6 years older, but is way more fragile, and like I don't know, who knows what the longevity is going to be with Anthony Davis, and one first-round pick. You got one future first-round pick for trading Luka Doncic?
That's a good point.
That is wild.
You need more picks in return. You probably could use another player off the Lakers. Like
the corpse of Pierce and Garnett got you 3 first-round picks and 2 pick swaps.
Good point. And the Lakers had another first-rounder just ready to go that they might use by the trade deadline on, what is it, Thursday?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they didn't maximize the deal. But I don't think a core deal around Davis for Luka is as bad as some others if you're trying to win right now. I know Luka just had them in the NBA Finals. I think there's merit to Kyrie and Davis on the court. They've wanted to play together a while. They fit better than Luka and Kyrie. Now, obviously, Luka and Kyrie can get to a Finals. Luka's been to an additional Western Conference Final. Maybe Luka and LeBron can figure it out in LA. I'm not saying they can't. But basketball-wise, a big and a ball-handling guard, that fits. And I'm not sure how well Dallas had it structured. So if you're trying to win right now, I wouldn't pick Dallas. I saw a headline today or a video today from First Take. Stephen A. said he has Dallas as the number one seed in the West. Well, they got a lot of work to do. I think right now they're 2 games over 500 and 9th in the Western Conference. So they got a lot of work to do to get there. I think Dallas got better. I have some questions about L.A. this year, short-term, Luka and LeBron. But long-term, they have their next franchise star, which the Lakers always seem to get.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how both new duos sort of pick up and run, because on the one hand, I thought maybe both got better, but then maybe both got worse, because Kyrie and Luka were just in the NBA Finals. So, like, obviously it wasn't that bad. And Luka, to me, the better player. So you just traded the better player from a finals appearance team. And then LeBron and Anthony Davis, I thought, like, when both guys were out on the floor, they were actually doing all right. Davis was having, like, an all-NBA type of season this year.
I mean, I said it earlier, I'd have to really sit down and rank him, but I would have him top 10-ish in the league. So you're trading Luka, who's a top 5 player, for a top 10 player. He's older, but I really don't think that's a bad one-for-one return. But you're right, there should have been more draft picks, and you can't just do a deal with one team. You have to open it up to the league. I'm guessing the reason the Mavericks did it, well, number one, it might be because their GM's in the bag for Nike.
So they're, I wouldn't rule that out.
And like weird conspiracy theories, I don't even know how weird they are, that the league wants a new superstar in LA, ratings are down, try to get Lakers, Celtics going again. Like, I think there's merit to all that.
Uh-huh.
But the reason you would shop Luka quietly is because you probably don't want him to find out about it. You don't want him to get upset.
But this is the end result. Like, well, you need to pick up the horn.
Also, so what if he gets upset? You're trading him, and he's not playing in the meet. It's not like he's playing. He hasn't played since Christmas.
Yeah.
So he's not even out there. Like, I just don't think there's a massive downside to the rest of the league getting wind that you're shopping Luka. I think you would have gotten more, not less, even if it pissed him off in the meantime.
Yeah, I just think you are doing such a disservice. I mean, you also left your head coach in the lurch. He admitted, sitting next to him during the press conference, that Jason Kidd had no idea this was happening. And then nobody else did. So you could have called every single team in the league, and if you told them you were seriously trading Luka Doncic, be like, give us your best offer. The whole league should know in this circumstance. Otherwise, you just settled for a very short-sighted, short window. And he even said that, too, this Nico Harrison, who's going to get fired, like, next year, probably, once they realize how poor this has gone.
When Anthony Davis has a season-ending injury early next year, they're going to be
Luka and LeBron are in the conference finals or whatever.
They're going to be like, you're out.
They're going to be like, oh, wait a minute, like, you had Luka Doncic, and this is what you turned it into? But, yeah, like, you could call any team you want, any player. You could call about Wembanyama. You probably wouldn't get him. You could call about Giannis. Who knows? Maybe Milwaukee's hitting their head against the wall, and they're like, all right, maybe we need a major shakeup. It's the craziest trade I can think of because of the trade value of Luka Doncic. In other years, we've seen big-time star players. You know, when Carmelo Anthony got traded from the Nuggets to the Knicks, that was like a huge, huge deal. There's a lot of players involved. It's still not this. Like, when Kevin Durant's gotten traded a couple of times, it's not this. Or, I mean, I still, like, Charles Barkley, that's one of the first big trades I remember as a kid. He went from the Sixers to the Suns for 4 players. It was the classic, like, Haas for ponies type of trade.
Yeah.
And it was, like, Jeff Hornacek and, like, Andrew Lang and, like, all these, like, bums. And they got Barkley, but, I don't know, he wasn't 25 years old when they made that deal. Like, he wasn't. The way Luka has been coming off an NBA Finals appearance, too, like a real surprise run to the finals. Like, you'd have a better selling point if you're Dallas if the Mavs were always like one and done. Same numbers for Luka, right? Like, same all NBA first teams, 30 points per game, 8-9 assists, 8-9 rebounds, but they kept losing in the first round. You'd be like, oh, they got to try something.
They can't break through.
No, they're in the finals last year against all odds, and you're like, nope, now's the time to trade him.
And
crazy.
He was in the Western Conference Finals, I think, 2 years before that.
Yeah,
so they've made some deep runs, and I didn't think that Mavericks team last year was overly talented.
They were not.
The team that made the Western Conference Final 2 years prior probably had more talent than we realized. I didn't know what Jalen Brunson was. I thought he was a nice little player.
Neither did Dallas.
So they probably were more talented in retrospect than I realized, but I don't think those are crazily talented teams, and he's dragged them to a Western Conference Final and an NBA Final. So I think Dallas got a better return than most, and even I am saying they should have more draft picks. I agree with you on that. I don't know that now's the time to make the move. This was Greg's point earlier today.
It is strange.
Why do it at the deadline? Why don't you wait till the offseason? A lot of teams would give him a max deal. You don't have to give him the super max. You can trade him. So why not wait until the offseason? Yeah. Don't really maximize shopping him around. There are other ways to do that. Plus, long term, Luka's 25. I mean, I think that one's self-evident. So you better hit on this and hit on it soon. But I probably think more highly of Anthony Davis than a lot of you out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I might have more questions about Luka, his commitment to the game, his commitment at the defensive end, which I think are one and the same. So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. I know you like to dabble in Keefspiracies.
Yes.
You don't rule out that this is league
I don't.
Orchestrated.
I wish I could, but I just feel like there's been too many superstars in the history of the game, like, and they just want to live in L.A.? I mean, maybe, but is this just like a marquee franchise? And between like Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Shaquille O'Neal and Dwight Howard and LeBron James and a bunch of other guys in there too, but those are like sort of like the mega star power guys that have all gone to, whether it be trade or just in free agency, they just happen to get over there and go to the Lakers. Like, I don't know. There's something there just because of how dumb I feel like this trade is that, I don't know. There's got to be some sort of conspiracy. I mean, you go back to, you had refs rigging games. Everybody thinks they're in the bag for the Lakers or just for whatever team LeBron's on, all these other things. So I can't rule it out. I mean, I don't, there's not like real proof other than this is such a shocking trade to
the,
so many.
The proof would be, smoking gun be that ratings are down and you need a way to fix ratings in the league. And how do you fix it?
Yeah.
Boston and LA, superstars in LA. I mean, that would be the smoking gun. Proof is the wrong word for it, but I think that would be, you know, some of the tangential evidence that you'd look at and go, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, is the league the driving force behind this? The other thing I wouldn't rule out is this guy's experience at Nike, Nico Harrison, the GM. And not all of it's good. Again, one prominent entry on his wiki page.
Yeah.
Is during his time at Nike in 2013, he botched a presentation to Steph Curry.
Nice.
Coming out of Davidson.
How do you screw that up?
Actually, was that when he was coming out of Davidson? I'm not sure.
I think he might have already been in the league.
Where, according to Harrison, he may have called Steph Curry Seth, his brother.
Oh, well.
And the presentation used was made for Kevin Durant.
Whoops.
So he's referring to Steph Curry as Seth Curry.
No, not good.
In the PowerPoint, he's got pictures of Durant, not Curry. Yeah. How'd you say it earlier, Keith?
Oh, just imagine yourself on this.
And picture you.
Yeah, that's you. Just pretend that's you.
Or it's like, you know, on Twitch, you just photoshopping his head onto Durant's body or whatever it is.
Just pretend that's you.
Brother, this guy stinks!
So, like, they had this whole presentation ready to go, along with not offering Curry a signature shoe. They didn't offer him a signature shoe.
No shoe for Curry.
It caused him to switch from Nike and sign with Under Armour. So you're right. That probably was after the start of his career in 2013.
And then the Mavericks were like, can we get this guy to be our GM? Sold.
So it's like, this is a Nike executive and it's LeBron in L.A. Yeah. Connect those dots. We know how influential Nike is throughout basketball, throughout the sport, at the grassroots level, all the way up through the Olympic team. Do I need to remind you about Jaylen Brown and his gripe with Nike hoops? So... or Nike basketball and, you know, the hoops community.
Yeah, yeah.
So that whole connection I can't rule out. And when you want to tell me that LeBron had no idea, the guy who used to work for Nike was the driving force behind it. You want to tell me LeBron wasn't consulted on it? Please.
Yeah.
So that's where I'll go with conspiracy theories. Like, was Nico Harrison making this move for his current employer, the Dallas Mavericks, or his former and probably future employer, Nike, when he gets blown out of this job in a couple of years?
I think he also, was he the guy that was there when they just let Jalen Brunson walk? I think so.
Was he in Dallas when
that
happened?
I think he was.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it was like his first year on the job. So yeah, we're good with you. It's like, you know he's really, really good, right? Like, nah, we don't see it. So he got a real eye for talent, this guy. But yeah, just sitting up there, it was one of the more awkward press conferences I've ever seen too, because he's trying to answer these questions and then Jason Kidd looks like, you know, he's being held against his will.
You want to play some of this, Nick? We had it penciled in for a rejoin coming up, but let's play
it's
it now.
Really
we'll play something else coming back. This is Nico Harrison and Jason Kidd makes a little cameo at the end that I think highlights a lot of his frustration.
Jeez.
You mentioned you think this will work in the short term and the long term. Short term makes great sense. How do you see this working out well for the organization in the long term?
Well, I think the long term is the time frame. I think he fits our time frame. If you pair him with Kyrie and the rest of the guys, he fits right along with our time frame to win now and win in the future. And the future to me is 3-4 years from now, the future, 10 years from now, I don't know. I don't think they probably bury me and J-Bud in, or we bury ourselves.
Yes.
I'm not going to be here.
We'll bury
Jason's like no, you,
No, we're burying
you.
Ourselves with this stupid trade.
How he's like, the guy who's in his prime at 25 doesn't fit our window now.
It's amazing.
It's like, well, no, he can be. He just got you to the finals last year. He's been one of the five best players for the last 5 years, unanimously. And you're like, well, this other guy fits our window. No, you mean he's older and he's closer to the same age as Kyrie?
And think out the Nike basketball thing, and now maybe I'm talking out both sides of my mouth because Kyrie's no longer with Nike. But when Harrison was at Nike, Kyrie was there. And so he's running the organization like Kyrie is the central force and not the 25-year-old superstar.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be here.
So I don't hate this trade as much as most people because I do think short-term Dallas is better. And I think Davis and Kyrie fit, and I'm on board with that. Although Kyrie can tank anything, as we've come to see.
Oh, yeah, he can.
I'm on board with that aspect of it.
All right, if they played a series.
But some of the defense about like 3-4 years from now, 10 years from now, all this, if they play a series, I'm picking Dallas over the Lakers.
All right, I'll pick the Lakers.
This year right now, I'll pick Dallas.
I'll pick the Lakers. I hate to do it because it's LeBron, but it'll be Luka.
Yeah, you've been so critical of LeBron. I feel like you're talking yourself way back into LeBron all of a sudden.
But I also hate Kyrie, so it's a wash. I mean,
fair.
You know, if they go against each other. But what would be amazing is if that did become. So right now, the Lakers are the 5 seed and the Mavericks are the 9. So there's no guarantee right now the Mavericks even make the real playoffs. Although it's all pretty close. But can you imagine that playoff series? Luka versus Dallas would be incredible.
Be great to watch. Great for ratings.
And if it happens.
Great for ratings, Keith.
Yeah, then you got to admit something's screwy.
The Keith-spiracy is up to something. Let me ask it this way. Do you think Luka wins a championship in L.A., whether it's this year or at all? During his time in L.A., do you think he wins?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, I do.
Like,
yeah, I do.
Pretty much every superstar that goes there wins. So, yeah, I think he's going to win.
Yep.
LeBron went there and won. Shaq went there and won.
Pau Gasol. He won.
Teamed up with Kobe.
At a high level. Yeah, it might not be with LeBron, but there'll be some other wave. There'll be another guy I don't even know who that is like, oh, yeah, he's also going to go to the Lakers somehow. They're going to try to make it happen. So.
He might not win with LeBron, but
he will.
During Luka's time as a Laker, he's going to win, which I guess if I answer it that way, even all my concerns about how he's eating his way out of the league is strong. But, like, the commitment to the game or lack thereof, which is a credit to the Celtics guys. I mean, Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Oh, those guys are.
They play every night.
Yeah.
They're in ridiculous shape. They're two-way players. Like, if you really want to point to a trade and prop up your guys here in Boston versus Luka, the reason he's gone is his commitment to the game or lack thereof. Even with those questions that I have about Luka, and this is not just parachuting in because he got dealt. We talked about it during the NBA Finals last year. Windhorst ripped him a new one. Anonymously from members of the Mavs organization in the middle of the finals last year. Even acknowledging all those questions, I still bet he goes to the Lakers and wins at some point during his tenure there because they all do.
I mean, he plays like big minutes. So, people that are worried about his weight, is it what they think that the longevity is not going to be there or like on a season to season or is it game by game?
Didn't he look worn down by the finals last year?
He looked tired in game one.
Yeah, he did.
So, like, it's that. I said this a little bit during the crossover today. Courtney's like, well, he's still really good with his frame. True.
Yes, he is.
But would he be better? If he really committed himself like Jaylen and Tatum commit themselves to the game, would he be better?
I mean, if he's averaging 39 and 10 as a fat, like, I'll still take it.
I know, but if
maybe over the summer, somebody will get to him because nobody with the Mavericks or anybody else in his life has.
Turns out, no, the answer was no. But,
I'm a little.
Would he not break down by game one of the finals would be the point.
Yeah, no, I guess.
You know, like he's putting up 30 a night.
Yeah.
And maybe
Adam Silver shortens the length of the games and then takes that away, now it's going to be advantage.
That's true.
Because, like, I look at Jokic and I'm not like, oh, my God, that guy's going to win an Ironman contest.
But
it
was one of my criticisms of him before he won.
But like,
Then he won.
Yeah. Not everybody's going to be like the Jaylen Brown, Giannis type of build, and he can still be successful.
It's true. So, look, he's a high-level player. I think it's a real debate. Would you start a team with him or Tatum? I think that's a real debate.
Yep.
Tatum, to me, is a bit cleaner of a player, as we just illustrated, but Luka's more skilled and more high-end out of the two. So, I think it's a real debate who you'd start your team with. But I think Luka has some real red flags. It's why a guy at 25 years old on the verge of a Supermax gets dealt. So, let's get to your phone calls here. Eddie is in the car. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, guys, how are you? Listen, I'm wondering about Cuban. If it's possible, he just did not like Luka. And then you always have to wonder, what about Kyrie? There's a lot of people that absolutely think he's a basketball genius. I think he's a moron. But I'm almost wondering what part Cuban played in this. Cuban must not have liked the guy.
Okay, so Cuban's not really running the Mavs anymore.
Yeah, Cuban sold the Mavs.
So I think you're asking it the wrong way. And I think this is something that's potentially instructive to the Celtics and their sale. We all go, oh, well, get Bezos in here. Get Larry Ellison in here. You know, get in. Jeff Lurie is the name that was kicked around last week or the week prior. Like, get those guys in here. Well, there's new ownership with the Mavs. It's not Cuban. I bet this trade doesn't happen if Mark Cuban's still running the Mavs. I bet this trade does not happen.
Yeah, probably not. Remember how obsessed he was with Dirk? Now, Dirk did win him a title, but like, he was obsessed with Dirk and like whatever it would take.
Who runs the Mavs? The Adelson estate, right? His
something like that.
Ex-wife or kid or something like that. I forget who's running the
Miriam Adelson.
Thank you. The Mavs now. It's not Cuban.
No.
In fact, it was the same thing as Wick Grosbeck. Oh, Cuban's going to stay on and he's still going to run basketball ops. Wrong.
Yeah.
That's not right. The money controls the whole thing like it would here with the Celtics. So this is where I think there are some interesting takeaways with Boston. If new ownership comes in, are they making a similar trade a year or two in? Are they trading Jaylen Brown, or are they trimming off pieces?
It's possible.
Not this year, or not even this offseason, but 2 or 3 years down the line when new ownership comes in, do they look at it and go, I'm not paying these guys $350 million, $400 million, whatever the deals are, I'm not doing, or whatever Luka would have been up for. You don't know with new ownership. The Mavs didn't know with new ownership. And I think if Cuban were here, the trade never would have happened. So I think the caller had that one back.
So Brad Townsend, who covers the Mavericks for the Dallas Morning News, he tweeted out yesterday, I asked Mark Cuban for his reaction to the trade of Doncic, whom the Mavericks acquired on draft night 7 years ago under Cuban's watch as majority owner. Cuban responded with four letters. MFFL. No, you know what that means?
Mavericks fan for life, something
yeah,
like that?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah. But I was going to say the way it started was how I would have answered
like,
it. But,
it sounded
yeah.
like FML. I'm sorry.
Yeah, FML.
MFFL.
No, MF. It's all he said. Mavericks fan for life.
Okay, but that's not a defense of the trade.
It's not really anything.
That's like when people used to say, when the Patriots make a trade that you hated, you go, well, in Bill, I trust.
In Bill, we trust.
That's all that is.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not going to bury the Mavericks, but I can't imagine he's thrilled with it.
So you can jump in on this all day long. 617-779.
And Luca, actually, when he wrote his Dear Dallas thing, he started that with, or he tweeted it out. It was like written out where he didn't thank the team. He didn't thank players, coaches, or anything like that. He did thank the city of Dallas. And then he wrote hashtag MFF.
There it is. That's unfortunately not the way it's going to go down for Luka Doncic. He's now a Laker for life, or at least for the foreseeable future. So you can jump in on this all day long. I'm sure they'll be talking about it on WEEI afternoons as well with Hart and Fitzy today. You can tune in for them at 2 o'clock. Meanwhile, what does this say about the Celtics? And what does this say about Tatum and Brown on this team, the future of the Boston Celtics, their role in the NBA compared to a budding super team like the LA Lakers? You can jump in on that with all your phone calls right after Trending with Billy Laney.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. The Celtics made it 3 wins in a row after being down 26 points in the third quarter to come back and defeat the 76ers 118-110 in Philadelphia last night. The Seas will wrap up their 3-game road trip tomorrow night against the Cavaliers in Cleveland. The Dallas Mavericks have traded Luka Doncic as part of a package to the Los Angeles Lakers for Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a 2029 first-round draft pick. The NBA trade deadline is Thursday at 3 p.m. Tonight, the TD Garden is the opening round of the Men's B-Pot Championship, 5 p.m. Boston University will play Harvard, 8 p.m. Boston College takes on Northeastern. You can hear the call of BC versus Northeastern on WEEI AM 850, with coverage beginning at 7:45. The Bruins will wrap up a 3-game homestand tomorrow night when the Bees host the Nashville Predators. Today's truck day for the Boston Red Sox. Pitchers and catchers will report to Fort Myers on Wednesday the 12th. According to Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal, the Patriots are hiring Todd Downing as a new wide receivers coach. Downing was an offensive coordinator for the Titans in 2021 and 2022. Cleveland Browns defensive end Miles Garrett has requested a trade. In 17 games last season, Garrett had 47 tackles, 14 sacks, and 3 forced fumbles. And this Sunday is Super Bowl 59. The Kansas City Chiefs look to make it 3 Super Bowl wins in a row when they face the Philadelphia Eagles. You can hear the call of the Super Bowl right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM. Kickoff is at 6:30, and Westwood One's pregame coverage will begin at 2. Visit the 99 Restaurant Monday through Wednesday for their newest Big Deal Meal. Your favorite chicken and sausage El Forno is back at the Nines for just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday. You gotta love the Nines. I'm Billy Laney. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.